The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
Amen. Welcome to day 17. Hallelujah. Tomorrow to be day 18. By this time next week, it will be day 24. Right? Yeah, by this time next week should be day 24. Amen. So, God has been faithful. Are you blessed this today? Glory to God. Say with me, I'm the house of God. Let's say it together. I'm the house of God. God lives in me. His glory is working in me. The glory of God in me is greater than the glory that lived in the temples of old. I'm the temple of God. I am the house of God. God lives in me. He talks through me. He walks through me. He reaches the world through me. Jesus is still alive. He's still walking planet Earth. And he's walking planet Earth in me. He's blessing men in me and through me. I'm a blessing to my world. For I carry the glory of God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Do you believe those words you just spoke? Let's have our seat. I'm trying to see if we can round up this glory of the latter house part of this teaching. So if we don't succeed today, okay, we will not succeed today, but we will succeed maybe tomorrow or next. Do you understand? Amen. I love God's word. Amen. You know, the first time I announced that we're going to have a meeting for these 30 days, one of you thought it was never going to happen. You thought, the pastor is just, no. Right? Amen. But if you've known me for some time, you should have known that what pastor cannot do, but God is faithful. I'm really having a good time. And I believe you are too. And some of you that have been here for the past 17 days, apart from the fact that you're coming here because of commitment, you're coming because you know that the word is working in your life. You know you are seeing the results every day in your life. Amen. And it's even going to get better. So, yesterday we rounded up the conversation around the 9 gifts of the Spirit. Remember where we are? We are looking at the glory of this latter house. And how we can become men that will reveal and dispense the glory of God. Dispense the glory of God. How we can manifest God's glory to our world. How God can pass through us, you know, so that we can be a blessing to our generation. And we're looking at these gifts of the Spirit. And we saw that these gifts of the Spirit are different expressions of God. Different expressions of the Spirit of God through us. So if God wants to reveal his healing power to someone, how will he do that? He will walk through us via the gift of healing. You get the point? If God wants to meet and reach someone's need, you know, reveal maybe someone's future or someone's direction, give someone direction, he will walk through us via the word of healing, word of wisdom rather. I get what I'm saying? If God wants to change someone's situation, he'll walk through us through the working of miracles. So these are just different ways through which God shows forth his glory to people through us. I get what I'm saying? Someone is possessed of the devil, tormented by the devil, and God wants to help the person. So, the person you're going to see who walked through us via discerning of spirits will be able to know that there's a devil tormenting this person. Then, you find out the gift of faith to get into action. We can now command that devil out of that body. You get the point? So, these are different ways through which God reaches his world. Amen. Glory to God. And I tell you what, these 30 days, they're not just trying to get us excited. God is preparing us to be a blessing to our world. God is preparing us to be a blessing to our world. And you know, this is a good time to say, I wanted to talk about this when I'll be at the end of this meeting. But it's a good time to say, the past 17 days, I think I'm a very proud pastor. Right? You guys have been, because for real, for people to show up when you're having a long meeting and you are not just doing breaking of courses and covenants. You know the day I said I was going to pray for families here? I don't know if you remember. Even people that have not attended in the past. So, it tells you, if that's what you are doing, are you know what I'm talking about? If everybody say, we're going to have 30 days of breaking courses and covenant and family patterns, everybody will just be backed out. But not me. You won't drag me into that stuff. So for you to be coming where you come every day, what we do is teach the word, we pray, and you return tomorrow. It means, whether you know it or not, something is changing inside of you. You are growing. Yeah, it means at least you care. Some people don't care about knowing Bible. Go for market evangelism tomorrow. Start preaching, they will leave you and run away. Start praying, they will gather. Have you observed? Who has ever done market evangelism? If you just carry mic and enter there, and start saying, Bible, of course, away, see, now call John chapter. They'll go back to their shop. But once you say, every witch following your shop, they will come out. Then make sure you come with holy water to spray them. They will be there waiting for you. So it's a good thing that you really want to know God's word. Because that's the real change. That's the real change. And for real, if I want to keep you in that circle of whatever, I can keep doing 30 days witchcraft hunting demolition. And the thing is, you think people will not come? If from everywhere, they will rush in and fill up everywhere. And don't preach too long. After just 10 minutes of charging the place up, just say, my father, my father. Are you ready? My father, my father. Anybody, where they do me, angels of God, Koboko, stop praying. And you think people will not, people will just, tomorrow, today was powerful. That was to say powerful. Ah, this guy tells a lie go. You know, I saw one video of some people singing. I really, really laughed. It was really very funny to me. I'm not mocking them, I'm just saying it was really very funny. That's in that video. They were praying on the mountain. Jesus, I laughed. I won't sing the song. It's very strong in my heart to sing, but I'm not going to do it. Jesus Christ. People are wicked. But I am happy you're here listening to God's word every day. And I tell you, forever as Jesus tarries, what we stand for as a ministry is not going to change. You get the point? It's not going to change. The original name, I used to tell you that I wanted to call this church. Did I tell you people? Huh? Platform of Grace Training Center. That was the original name of this church. In my spirit, just that God said, I'm going to training center. Change it to church. Glory to God. So the mandate is clear. You get the point? And some of you may not understand it until 5-10 years from now. I'm saying it again. Many of you are going to stand in ministry. I am saying emphatically. Many of you are going to stand in fivefold ministry. Many of you. In fact, 95% of you. You just don't know. But let's be going. You think God is wasting time with you? Why do you think he's telling you all of this? Don't worry. Let's be going. It will happen. By the time the Lord will tell us it's time to spread, when I say all the people from one day, there is now one day center. Who do you think the pastor will be? Oh God. Glory to God. But we're getting better, right? So let me address something. 2 Timothy 1 verse 6. I want to look at how, you know, I want to bring all these gifts together. How do we flow and get better? Because I've been teaching on the gifts. Let me begin to give some instructions around flowing in spiritual things that will help you become stronger in your flow. to 2 Timothy 1 and verse 6. I'm going to read it to us with different translations. He said, "Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou tear up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands." Stir up the gift of God. Stir up. So there is a gift of God in Timothy, and Paul is telling him, stir up that gift. Stir up that gift. So I'm going to begin to share today, tomorrow, we'll look at how to, because it now tells you something. You can have something, you can have the gift of God in you, but yet you're not flowing in it. You get the point? I'm going to send it to you. Put up Amplified Classic. Watch. There's another term Amplified Classic used. Amplified Classic. That is why I would remind you to stir up, rekindle the embers of, fan the flame of, keep burning. So let me send it to you. Some of you have used this many times. Some of you that ever cooked with firewood. Right? You know, when you make that fire, you have to always come to fan it. There is fire there, but if you don't fan it, your food will not cook. So that's how it is. There's a gift of God in you. If you don't know how to engage, how to fan it to flame, how to stir it up, it will just be lying dormant in you. Yet you cannot do much with it. I get what I'm saying. So you must learn how to fan to flame. So you are finding it to flame. You are stirring it up because it's already there. So it's not a question of let the gift come. So you learn how to stir it up. He said, that's why I would remind you to stir up, rekindle the embers of, fan the flame of, keep burning. What's wrong? What's happening? Put it back. Put it back on the screen. Keep burning. That's Amplified Classic. Keep burning. Glory to God. The gracious gift of God, the inner fire that is in you, by means of the laying on of my hands, with those of the elders at your ordination. So he said, tear it up. Keep it burning. Keep fanning to flame. So in other words, someone can have a gift of God in him, but yet it is not burning. It is not burning. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah. You know, message said, and the special gift of ministry you received when I laid hands on you and prayed, keep that ablaze. Keep that ablaze. I'll come back to this scripture maybe later tomorrow. Because there are other instructions in the next verse as for how to do that. But then I'll come back to that later. In the Passion Translation, he said, I'm writing to encourage you to fan into a flame and rekindle the fire of the spiritual gift God imparted you when I laid my hands on you. So there is fire in us, but you must always rekindle it. You know, there's an instruction in the Old Testament for the priests, where they are told that on the altar of God, the fire must never go out. So the priest has an assignment every morning to wake up and go to that altar, remove the ash, replace the wood, make sure the fire keeps burning. That's the type of what we do with our spiritual gifts. God has imparted you. Have you observed that there are many people that have never healed the sick? But now we are seeing from God's word that every believer has the gift of healing. Why? They don't know how to engage. They don't know how to flow and work with those things. Amen. So you must find it to flame. So 1 Corinthians 12:31. Let me show you where I'm going to today. Because I'm going to come to you today by instructions. By instructions today. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 31. Glory to God. Now, it says, but covet earnestly the best gifts. Covet earnestly. And if you look at how it appears in the King James, after he said covet earnestly, he put a colon there. Did you observe? In other words, he's about to show us how to go about coveting. But before I get to that, when Paul says, let me see if you've got what I've been teaching you the word. When Paul says, covet earnestly. Is it covet to possess or covet to flow in? So it is covet to express. It's not covet to have. So you are not fighting to have. But but you must covet, you must desire to flow. You must desire to express. You must desire to manifest. I get what I'm saying. Now, so he said, yet show you a more excellent way. So he's about to show us a more excellent way of handling and manifesting and flowing in the gifts of God. And of course, by the next verse, that is chapter 4, 13. He said, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. So he began to talk about love. So if you ask, what is the more excellent way that Paul showed as to how to covet spiritual things? It is love. So I'm going to give you instructions today around the area of walking in love. Because you cannot successfully teach spiritual things and function and flow in them well if you've not mastered love. Because by the time I get into this study, you find out that for some of us, the reason we're not flowing excellently in spiritual things is because this particular thing is lacking. So the first thing I'd like you to know is this. Love gives value to spiritual things, to your spiritual flow. Love gives value to your spiritual flow, to your flow. Now, what I mean by that, look at that verse, look at this verse. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have no charity, what did he say? I am become a sounding brass or tinkling cymbal. Verse 2. And do I have the gift of prophecy, understand all mysteries, have all knowledge, and have all faith, that I can even remove mountains, and I have no charity, I am nothing. So before God, whatever you are doing with spiritual gifts, notice from verse 1, you talked about the gift of tongues. In verse 2, you talked about the gift of prophecy. You talked about the gift of word of knowledge. You talked about the gift of faith, even that can move mountains. If you have all these things, but you are not, there is no love at the foundation of what you are doing. He said you are nothing. So there is no value to the things you do with the supernatural. There is no value to them if it is not founded on the love of God. There is no value to them. Are you what I'm talking about? There is no value to them. If I let me add what I wanted to say later. Peter said he gives value to your spiritual flow. Then I will also add this. Love makes your spiritual flow count at the judgment seat of Christ. So love will make your spiritual flow. All these things you are doing with the Spirit. For instance, I'm doing ministry now. In the course of this ministry, I blessed you yesterday. I healed the sick. I did all of that. You can do all of that and you come before Jesus and God says, I don't know you. Not that you're going to hell. I'm coming to that very shortly. But at least you will receive no reward for them. How do you know that? See the next verse. Let's read together, everybody, please. Very important. Read with me. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have no charity. What did he say? It profited me. So whatever ministry is meant to profit you, if you do not do it from the place of love, it will profit you nothing. So even that reward they are meant to receive when you see Jesus, nothing for you. Because I want to say to you, there is a reward for the ministry we are doing on earth here. Beyond the small blessings you are going to receive on earth, money and all of that, there is a reward when we see Jesus. That we are not just wasting our time. There's a reward. And I would like you to do ministry with a mindset of reward. That someone, if, for instance, if you are in school, if you are entering the exam hall to write an exam, you should bear in mind that somebody is going to mark your script. Bear it in mind that someone will mark our script. If not, if you just do it anyhow, when you meet Jesus, nothing is coming for you. Romans 14 verse 10 tells us that we shall all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. So all these things we go up and down preaching, doing ministry, God is going to mark our script. God is going to mark our script. And we are already seeing in 1 Corinthians 13 that one of the major things that would make your script, that will make you score anything reasonable, is that the motive behind your spiritual flows is love. Because I can tell you, you can do ministry for any reason.
You can heal the sick because you want to be seen. You can go to the studio to release a song because you want to be famous. You can write books because you want money. Are you getting what I'm talking about, friends? You can organize program because you want people to know you. You can decide to move away from this venue to a bigger venue because you want to blow. Are you what I'm talking about? But when we meet Jesus, it will not just be about how big what we've done for him are. It will be about why did we do those things. Because I mentioned the message of Christ, nobody gets confused. Well, I'm not talking about going to hell or going to heaven. 1 Corinthians 3 verse 13. Let me just show you that. Or maybe from verse 12. Yeah. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 12. If any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hair, stubble. Next verse. Watch. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he had built thereupon, he shall receive. Are you following me? So there will be a marking scheme. There is a marking scheme. There is a scale on which our work will be weighed. I feel I'm saying. That's why you should not just be bothered about doing ministry. You should be bothered about doing ministry right. So, he shall receive the reward. And see the next verse. Verse 15. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. Now, he himself shall be saved. Yet, so as a fire. So he's trying to say, this guy is not going to go to hellfire. I know what I'm talking about. It's not about that you miss heaven. But his work will be burnt up. No reward. People can give money because they want you to notice them. People can give money because they want to be popular. You can do that with it and build church. But hear me, when you meet Jesus, they will count as nothing. Paul said, even if you give all your body to be burned. So every time I read that, I pause to say, so it's actually possible someone can give his body to be burned, yet it's not from a place of love. Very serious. It's possible somebody can be on the field doing missions. And yet, it's not because of love. Help for another reason. That's why there is need for us to examine our motive. I always, why do you want to raise the dead? Why do you want to prophesy? You want to be given a creator of knowledge. Why? Because you want to help people? Because you want people to get better? Because you want to be able to solve problems of people? Or because you want them to know that the emperor, the conqueror, the champion has come. So that when you show up, they will know that you are not here to play. That's why when I see the pride that some people, some of us use, not some of us, some of us, I mean some ministers, use in manifesting spiritual things, I just keep wondering, why are you doing this? It's not me to judge. When we meet Jesus, he's going to judge. Why are you doing this? The way we carry it, the way we act, the way we do it, it's just like, you just know, it's just revolving around us. So Paul said, if at the terms used in 1 Corinthians 13 verse 1 are quite interesting. He said, if I speak with tongues of men and of angels, that's anything like that. That's if you come to Paul, you're speaking in tongues of angels. Now he's not trying to say that it's tongues of angels. People try to make a doctrine from this verse. There are no tongues of angels. He's just trying to say, you know, this figure of speech. You get the point? If I like, let me speak heaven and earth, that kind of thing. You understand? It's not trying to say there is heaven and there is earth, but just man of angels. I have no charity. I am become a sounding brass. In other words, that tongues I'm speaking is just sounding brass, tinkling cymbal. Bang, 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 bang. It doesn't carry any weight. You're just making noise. So whenever I give instructions around walking in love, take it seriously. Because at the end of the day, that is one major thing that will show up that is in the marking scheme that God will use to mark you. Are you following me? So he mentions tongues. So I can speak in tongues, but it's not coming from a place of love. I can speak in tongues to intimidate people. I can speak in tongues to show people that you are learning. Let me show you my own. That's why when I see all these kind of prayers sometimes that we organize because we want to intimidate others. We are doing 18 hours prayer. Why? Because we want to show others that they cannot pray. At the end of the day, it comes down to motive. Why are we doing what we are doing? And love should be that motive. So that if you see a sick, person, you want to pray for the person, it should not be because you want the person to know that you are not here to play. It should be because you love this person and you want him to actually recover. You want him to actually be fine. You look at what he's passing. I'm still going to show you the ministry of Jesus very shortly. You look at what he's passing through and you really want help. You want him to get help. I know what I'm talking about here. Now, see the next verse. Because that's why there's some things we do in church. I know a church, for instance. I think they've stopped that. I believe they've stopped it, actually. To the glory of God. I think so. What they were doing then, the church was growing, though. They put, those days, it was around a certain environment. The person that invited people most in the month will be given a check. Not big money, 25K every month. So when you invite people, you go and write. Real life story. Now, people were coming. I'll tell you what they were doing then. They would just come to a lodge. Your guy can just come and meet you and say, they share money for church, I beg. Just come. Even if it is once. Run out for me, I beg. And the guy, your baby, towards the end of service, just come in. Go and write, I invited this person. You know the problem? We might say endpoint is that people are coming and they are getting saved. But we are actually corrupting the mind of those believers. So think of church invitation and think of soul winning and all of that. And all that's coming to their mind is, let me get the money. People went to, it might not, the point came of this point, but for, imagine when you were a student. Or as a student. So if you invite people high as this month, 25,000. Amen. Or maybe this economy, I say 100K. Highest invitation, 100K. They will find, you now come to church, you find one person, three people invited the person. Say, I invited, it's a lie, it's me that I invited you. But end point, it goes to show, there are some things we do, and we corrupt the hearts of believers. And we must be very careful. I don't know what the pastor had in mind. I want to believe he didn't plan that all of that was going to happen. Because it was really bad. I wasn't a pastor. I was in school. So, you know, I wasn't talking like a pastor. I was in the midst of where it was happening. Do you understand? So, they were just, I beg. Guys, I beg, come for me. Real life story. If I win this end of the month, I will see you now. And they will come. Some even bring their friends to come. Just like if you come once, you are now a first time, I can't come again. You know, let us be very careful. Are you following me? Let us be very careful. I know you want to prophesy. If you want that prophecy, all these things you are going to do for God, you are healing the sick, to matter when we meet Jesus, then you must pay attention to your motive. Why are you doing what you're doing? It must be love-based, love-ruled. The foundation must be the love of God. So the second thing I said, love, first I said it gives it value. And I said it makes it count at the judgment of Christ. The third thing I'm going to say is that love, walking in love also makes the things of the Spirit easy. This one is one thing. If you want to, one of the easiest ways to actually flow, Paul called it a more excellent way. It's an easy way to manifest Spirit. Let me tell you, without teaching you all these things I've taught you, if you really, really love people genuinely, and you reach out to them to help them and pray for them, God will pass through you. You will see yourself manifesting some things. Have you not seen yourself when you are so much, when you so much love someone in church, person is passing through a lot, and you hold the person and begin to intercede for the person, God must tell you things about that person. You don't even need to know that there's anything like word of knowledge or word of wisdom. Just once you genuinely love people, once you genuinely love people, no bitterness, no hate, God will pass through. Let me tell you, if you want to flow in word of knowledge, let me teach you something. If you want to begin to know things about people, pick a certain brother or sister in church and begin to pray for the person. In 2 weeks, God will tell you plenty of things about that person. You don't need to force it. Love is at the foundation of spiritual flows. You want to be a powerful healer of the sick. Love people. Once you begin to pray for people with that love and compassion, healing will break out. Love is advantage. And let me show you, I already mentioned, let me show you the ministry of Jesus. Show you like 8 verses. In Matthew 14 and verse 14, you see how Jesus healed the sick. and worked all those miracles. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. So what moved Jesus to heal the sick? Compassion. It's not because he wanted to show that I am the Messiah and today I'm going to prove to you guys that I carry healing power. No. That wasn't the reason. So how these guys' legs broke? That compassion. He got results. Are you still here? Matthew 15 verse 32. 15:32. Same flow. Then Jesus called his disciples unto him and said, I have compassion on the multitude because they continue with me now 3 days. I have nothing to eat. I will not send them away. This was how he multiplied those 5 loaves and 2 fish. You get the point? Because these guys are with you for 3 days, not eating. So the compassion. So Jesus didn't multiply 5 loaves and 2 fish so that because he wanted to show them that the Messiah has come. You see why we don't have the results that Jesus had. Because sometimes we want to multiply 5 loaves, so that pastor has come, don't worry, food could multiply, don't worry. No, that wasn't why. He just got there, they had been eating for 3 days, then he looked at them, they've not eaten for 3 days, they were tired, they were famished. He called the disciples and said, I have compassion on these people. They've been here for 3 days, they've not eaten. Now, for 3 days, who was teaching? Who was teaching for 3 days? Jesus. So who should be more tired, the teacher or the student? The teacher. But he wasn't bothered about himself. That compassion of God, he laid hold on him, so 5 loaves and 2 fish multiplied. So the secret to Jesus and how he demonstrated that power is that he actually loved people genuinely. In Matthew chapter 20 verse 30, I can show you this again and again in the Bible. Behold, two blind men sitting by the wayside, where they heard that Jesus passed by, cried out saying, have mercy on us, O Lord, thou son of David. Verse 31, the multitude rebuked them because they should hold their peace, but they cried the more saying, have mercy on us, O Lord, thou son of David. And Jesus stood still and called them and said, what will you that I shall do unto you? And they said unto him, Lord, that our eyes may be opened. Verse 35, let's listen together. So Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight and they followed him. That compassion was at the foundation of all his miracles. I'm trying to show you. I get the point. It was there. That was why he did what he did. That was why he did. If I will still show you how, that was why he raised Lazarus from the dead. That was why he saw their pain. He saw what they were passing through. And he moved him. So I say to you, if you genuinely love people, that's why you see the kind of miracles that genuine pastors record with their members. Sometimes you can't see it anywhere. The reason is simple. They love them. They love them. So you see, they're always praying for them. Always interceding. That's why when they pray, things change. Why? That thing is not coming from a place of trying to show off. It is that genuineness. How can these guys be passing through this? Amen. Even up to this afternoon or this evening while we're getting set for church, I told my wife, talked about a particular sister here. I said, I'm just trusting for this particular thing, for this thing. And she said, you say this all the time. I didn't actually realize. Said, you say this all the time. I said, it's true. All the time. Because the thing I've prayed about it is, I've seen God has shown me about it. God has promised me, I'm going to do this for this lady and all of that. And see, today, I didn't know why it came out from my mouth again. He said, you say it all the time. I said, yes, actually. I actually want it. That is now, I'm not going to get nothing. It's not even a financial thing. I don't get the point. But then, it will be easy for God to pass through that person that actually loves people. That's why can I say this to you? If you are not happy with someone, you cannot get a word for the person. If you dare get a word for the person, I know what you will get. Change from your wicked ways. The Lord does not, let me tell you, the wicked shall perish in their sins. You can never. Again, do you see why? I don't know, let me say a few things about church and church structure. This is why, if you are working with your pastor, make your pastor happy. This is why it's not good for pastors to be angry with their members. And why it's not good for you to, let me show you a scripture. Digression now.
Hebrews 13 verse 17. Let me show you something I just want to show you. Hebrews 13, 17. Obey them that have the rule over you, right? Watch this. Submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account. So pastor must give account. But see what he's saying. That they may do it with joy and not with grief. So make sure your pastor is doing this work towards you with joy. If he doesn't do it with joy, what happened to you? That it will be unprofitable. Now, initially I used to think it will be unprofitable to the pastor. Recently I was told, God said, look at it again. Your pastor doing his work with grief will be unprofitable to you, not to him. You are the one that will not receive the result because his ministry will stop working towards you. I know what I'm talking about. Because that heart, he's now angry with you. He's not doing joy again. He's now in grief. So you're not here, you say, receive. You're not going to get anything. It is you that you're unprofitable for. So it's like there will be a season of the power of God and ministry from him to you. Probably I can out of this. Let me show you. Listen, I'm showing. I'm seeing with another translation. Obey your spiritual leaders and do what they say. Their work is to watch over your souls and they are accountable to God. Give them reasons to do this with joy and not with sorrow. That will certainly not be for your benefit. So when your pastor is happy and is doing work with joy, whose benefit it is? Yours. It's your benefit. I get the point. What is this showing you? Because once he gets into that dream of grief and all of that, it will hinder the flow of the anointing. Now, take that to your own life. When you are in bitterness towards people, you cannot fully express, God cannot fully pass through you to be a blessing to them. That's why you have a problem with, you have things about holding things against people. That is what is stifling the flow of the Spirit through you to them. I get to the point. And that's what you need to help yourself. I know God is bringing it to my heart. Don't be a tribalistic person as a believer. Because for all you care, God may be sending you to that tribe you are angry with. I get what I'm saying. I don't say it to white people. They came here to colonize us. They took away our land. They took away our this. Our fathers were slaves. They made us slaves. Okay. After all those you're whining, make sure. Because should God ever say, I want to send you to the UK to go do missions, nothing's going to happen. Because you cannot possibly be a blessing to people that you hate. That's why I say to ministers all the time, the first key to surviving in missions is that when you come into that land, fall in love with that land. Fall in love with that community God has sent you. It's a major key. That's why in missions we teach things like if you go to mission, any food they give you, eat. You may not understand their food, but you must show compassion towards them. You must show love. You can't come to them and say, hey, we don't eat that thing. What is that? What? Eat anything they give you. If I tell you things I've eaten in the name of missions, Jesus, there is this thing. You know, people eat everything. Not everything is eatable. Everything is edible. It's just where you're coming from. Do you know Esu? What do they call it in English? Is it millipede or centipede? It's a peed. That is a has many, 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 many legs. Just wicked. People were eating it. I'm not joking. Who has eaten it before? Well, it's around your village I'm talking about, too, yes. They were using it in Abacha. That is not centipede. That is what? It's not abuzu. Abuzu is one that looks like cockroach. Eh? There is a pit there. I don't know what it looked like, but they were eating it. And we did. And it wasn't a problem. You know the point? They're not trying to poison you. They're eating it. And you came to be a blessing to them. Did you not come to be a blessing to them? Oh, mission is sweet. I remember going to mission work
Sister Joy from Lagos. He's in Lagos now. Went to one place. Then we entered there. They brought out what they were eating. She started crying. Papa, man, I will never eat this. But he reached to cry because I don't understand what they brought out. One soup like something. But you know, I ate it too. That's how I survived. I ate it. Glory to God for toilets. My God. But this is actually why we teach that. It's not because we're trying to punish. The reason why we teach that is because we know that by the time you begin to eat that is and mingle with them, you get to accept them. Because if you actually do not accept them, it will be very difficult for God to pass through you to be a blessing to them. So you see Jesus on earth, he was mingling with those guys. Are you getting the point? That's why I'm already showing you something. So I've showed you the compassion thing. So you see, that's why Paul said, right of Hebrews said, make sure that your pastor is doing his work with joy. Because if he does it with grief, he will stop being a blessing to you. So pastors and ministers, let me sound a note of warning. Never be angry with your members, no matter what. No matter what. Because you are not just hurting yourself because you are not working in love. You are also hurting them. That may be a way the devil is trying to mess their lives up by making you angry with them. And say this with two they do. Everybody too they do. Even you towards your own spiritual father, you too they do. Even me towards our spiritual father, I too they do. True or false. You too they do. Don't you do too they do. We all know ourselves. So don't even give me that excuse of members can be somehow. Everybody can be somehow. Stop acting because you're now a pastor. Even as a member, you are somehow. See what your pastor is passing through because of you. And now you're a minister or you're a leader. Please don't be angry with your people. Never. They can hurt you, annoy you. Shout, correct, let it drop. If not, no matter how many times you lay hands, you are hindering a flow. And that's part of the reason why some of you wonder, Pastor, you never, no matter what people do, that's how my heart is. Because I know, it's not for me to stay in that bitterness towards you, it's better you leave the church. Because there is no reason you'll be here, because if I'm angry with you, anyway, that's why members shouldn't also be angry with their pastors. Because if you're angry with your pastor, you can't even receive. Once there is no love, both the giver and the receiver, the process is blocked. The flow is obstructed. I know what I'm talking about. That's why I cannot be angry. Amen. So you notice, you want to get better with this switch and flow thing. Just love people. I say without knowledge. You see a mother who doesn't know anything about spiritual flow, but the son is dying. She begins to pray. The son will recover. Because she's praying from a place of deep affection and deep love. That child will recover. I don't want to be saying to the mother, you don't speak about the sickness, you speak to the sickness. She doesn't know all of that. She was just going to say, Father, I beg, don't let my child die. The child will recover. You get the point? Because the depth of the affection. Now, I'm not talking about just emotions here. Because I don't believe in doing ministry out of emotions. If you do ministry emotionally, you're going to struggle. Ministry is not emotions. It's a story for another day. There is emotion, there is compassion. Not the same thing. Emotion is the reason why they don't allow a doctor to conduct surgery for his son. Because he will just be too emotional. You know what I'm talking about, right? It's emotional. So I'm not talking about, if you're emotional, you'll make a lot of mistakes. You will be, if somebody is emotional, the child begins to act somehow. Instead of saying, get this, dad. No, it's going to get you. That's why, oh, gee, okay, this dad is sad with that. So it's not, I'm not talking about emotions. A pastor should not be emotional, actually. If a pastor is emotional, he will not be a blessing to his people. If a pastor is emotional, he will make a lot of emotional decisions. And once you make emotional decisions, you will not have the results. You understand? There is compassion, there is emotion. You put someone on a 7-day regimen to read his Bible and pray 4 hours every day. That's what God said you should do to him. But the person comes and starts crying, Pastor, do you know, every time I pray that prayer, my eyes will tell me. If an emotional person say, hey, mwambo, let's go. It's okay. Just do what you can do. That's emotional. I'm never going to do that.
to complete that prayer.
There is compassion as emotion. For instance, you're a doctor now. You've given someone injection. The person comes back there and says, "Papa, this injection, every time you give me this injection, the pain used to be too, I cannot take it anymore." Emotion, being emotional is to say, "Hi, you can't take it. Ngwano. Go home. Next week, we see what you can do. The person will die." Compassion is that you insist. Because you are compassionate, you really want that person to recover. So I'm not talking about being emotional. I know what I'm talking about. Emotion spoils things. Don't be emotional as a human being. I don't like emotional people, generally. I don't like people that make decisions from a place of emotions. People that will cry. Life goes on. So don't be emotional. Be a compassionate person. When I'm going to bring a footage on this, I'm telling you, it has spoiled many ministries. It has messed many people up. Imagine Paul was preaching, Eutychus fell down and died. Because the guy has preached all night. He came out and said his life is in him. And they went back up and continued preaching. It was a very emotional place. He said, "Hey, I've killed somebody here. So, let's round up. Please, sorry, I will not preach again." He continued what he was saying. It's not about being emotional. Be compassionate, but not be emotional. But the end point is that you must genuinely love people. Must genuinely care for them. That's how you become a channel through which God will pass through to now reach those people. Because that your heart of compassion becomes a tool that God is going to use to reach those people. That's why, you know, one of the first things that God will do for anybody he wants to send to any community is that he makes them fall in love with that community. Yeah. Because they need that, they need to be in that state of mind to bless that land. So back to what we are looking at. Mark 1 verse 40. Mark 1 verse 40. The ministry of Jesus. Looking at how love and compassion made ministry easy for Jesus. God came a leper to him, beseeching him and kneeling down to him and saying unto him, "If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." And verse 41, and Jesus moved with compassion, put his hand. I wanted to be marking those. He moved with compassion. It wasn't that, you know, they just told him and he said, you know, let me show, the crowd is gathered, right? Let me do miracles, they will know that. You know, the Son of God is here. No. It was compassion towards those people. That's why somebody came to tell me one day that they prayed for the sick and sick did not get well. And they were hurt. So I asked him, "Why are you angry? Why are you hurt? Are you angry that how can this sick person still be on this sick bed? Or are you angry that I embarrassed myself today? After all the mouths you made, this person did not get well. Why exactly are you angry? Ask your neighbor for me. Have you ever prayed for someone and the person didn't get well? Why are you hurt? Get an answer from them. Well, sometimes the pain is, what kind of embarrassment is this? It comes to all of us, actually. But make sure you shift that away. The major thing is, this person is still sick. So that's what will bring you back tomorrow. That's what will bring you back next tomorrow. That's what will bring you back next week to pray for that person. But again, we'll tell us of sometimes he said, sometimes he'll tell you, "For the past 1 month, I've been coming back to pray for this person every day." What is bringing him back? It's not because he wants to show off. This person is still sick, so I'll keep coming back. It's compassion. Are you following me? So that scriptures, Luke 7, verse 11. I'll show you this and I'll show you Lazarus case and we move on. And it came to pass the day after that he went into a city called Nain. And many of his disciples went with him and much people. Now when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out. Look at this. The only son of his mother. And she was a widow. Only son of the mother. The mother was a widow, so there is no hope except she goes to remarry. And multiple of the city was with her. Verse 13. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion. Nobody called him to come and heal the sick. Nobody invited him to raise the dead. He had compassion on her and said unto her, "Weep not. Weep not." Verse 14. And he came and touched the bear, and they that bear him stood still, and he said, "The young man, I saw to thee, arise." It wasn't a desire to show off. It was compassion that pulled him towards that person. I feel what I'm saying. That's why, again, it is dangerous for the man who carries the anointing to not know how to let go of things easily, to not know how to forgive, to not know how to deal with bitterness, to not know how to deal with hurts. You're going to destroy people that God has sent you to. And I can almost tell you, if you have bitterness against so many people in your life, in fact, you will see, it's like your body will no longer, your mind will no longer be able to conduct the power of God. You know what I mean by conduct? You know, in physics, there are conductors. Right? There are conductors. Conductors can transfer current. I don't know why everyone is smiling. It just reminded him of when he was in school. Conductors can conduct current from one end to another. Now, if you put an insulator in between, the current will not flow. If you continue in a life of bitterness, hate, anger, your body, your mind will become an insulator to the power of God. It can no longer pass through you to reach people. That's why you notice when people become so bitter, so angry, so this, over a long period of time, you see a man that was once blazing hot, once anointed, it's like he's going down. He's so preoccupied with all the things people have done to him and all the people that have annoyed him and people that have hurt him that he can no longer be a blessing to people around him. I've seen men of God who can no longer train younger ministers because they trained younger ministers in the past and all of them hurt them. So they're still in pain over those things. So when ministers, when young people come around it, he can no longer be a blessing to them. That hurt and pain is that has stifled the flow of the anointing through him. So he's still anointed, yes, but he can no longer be a blessing to these people. His mind is now an insulator to the power of God. He can no longer conduct. I know what I'm talking about. That's what I'm telling you. Be flammable. All the ways to stay flammable is to keep your heart pure, full of love, full of compassion. Are you following me, friends? You know, in John chapter 11, let's just get Lazarus' story. In John chapter 11, because this Lazarus' story is one reason why I said, don't be emotional. Don't be emotional. It's not about being emotional. It's not about being emotional. A certain man was sick named Lazarus. Of course, they told Jesus. In verse 3, he said, of course, they said to him, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest. So they knew this man loved Lazarus. So he said, that guy you love is sick. And look at verse 4. And when Jesus said that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. And Jesus loved, now, verse 5 says, Jesus loved Martha. He really loved them. So when verse 6 is interesting. Verse 5 and verse 6 look like they contradict. Verse 5 said he really loved them. Verse 6 said when he heard therefore that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. How can someone you love be sick? They just informed him that he was sick. I think the right thing to do is to run towards him. But he stayed back where he was for 2 days. That's why I said there is emotion, there is compassion. That was what God wanted him to do at the time. So, when we're talking about compassion and emotion, don't say, pastor doesn't love me, or that minister doesn't love me, because he heard I was sick, he didn't do this. Mm-mm. How he will love you at that point is to do exactly what God wants him to do. Because if he's doing what God wants him to do, that will bring out of the situation. Is someone following what I'm talking about here? So, he stayed back. I've seen people come to my office, sir, I'm feeling, and I just, the compassion of God rises, I just want to pray. And the Lord said, don't pray. Give them message to go and listen to. They should come back after 3 weeks. What? The person is in pain. Now, you can't be more compassionate than God. You can't love the person more than God. You get the point? So what do? You give the person and you just stay put. So Jesus stayed back there. Then after that, he said to his disciples, let us go into Judea again. His disciples said unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee. And are you going to? So he said, let's go to Judea. Remember, in Judea, there was a concentration of men that wanted to kill him. So he answered them, that's the next verse. Are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not because he seeth the light of this world. Verse 10, watch this. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth because there is no light in him. Verse 11. These things said he
After that, he said unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may wake him up. So actually, the Jews were looking to kill him there. How did he show that he loved him? He risked going into Judea to come pray for that guy. Are you what I'm talking about? Even though he knew that death was waiting for him there, but that compassion drove him into Judea to come pray for the guy. So even though he didn't go immediately when they informed him, he was actually very much. And do you know, at this time, nobody came back to tell him that Lazarus was dead. How did he get to know that Lazarus was dead? He was obviously praying for him. So those 2 days, Bible said he stayed still and did not move. He was praying. So finally he got that the guy has died. That compassion drove him. I know what I'm saying. There was risk there, but he didn't mind. That's the love of Jesus. That's the love that God will use to be a blessing to people. You see that love, that heart? That heart, God will use it. But you see that heart that does not care about anybody, that doesn't care, I don't send anybody. That's the exact heart that God will not use. Because that heart, oh, they want to kill me in Judea. Lazarus is dead. If you will not bury 2 people. If I go there, they will kill me. No. But he didn't mind. Immediately he goes to release his priest to go. He started going. What about our time? Go down to verse 35. Of course, verse 35 is the shortest verse in the Bible. Read it. Go to it. Jesus wept. Now, when he wept, verse 36, look at what the guy said. Verse 36. Then said the Jews, behold how he loved him. The love he had for the guy was tangible. It was tangible. So Jesus did not raise Lazarus from the dead because he was just excited about raising the dead. Oh, somebody died there. Ah, this guy show power. Man, they. No. That's not the character you carry into the supernatural. That's not the character. It's love. So I want to say this to you. The things of God are best expressed from a heart of love. In fact, when you love people genuinely, that is when you are in your most excited state to bless them. Yeah, that's when you can bless them the most. Haven't you observed that people that say things like, this is not the proof of the calling, but I'm going to give an example. People that God sends to maybe women that are abused, they always have that kind of thing drawing them towards. Have you seen that kind of thing? They're always very passionate. When they see them, they can go all the way. Some of them even go the extra mile or go miss it by trying to get into activism and all of that, forgetting that that's their calling. Do you understand the point? They're not fighting all over the place. But it's all those things they do. Is that compassion in their heart that is driving them? Driving them. You see a rich man. He's not doing it for social media. He has this thing for people that are down and out. The smokers on the streets. The boys who are living under the bridge. He will park his car, roll up his sleeves, and go in there. I'm talking to them. He's not carrying camera. It's not this one. I'm talking about this one. I'm doing now. Okay, guys, I have 200,000 naira. I'm going to look for a woman who has not eaten for the past 3 days to give this money. That's not love of Jesus. You're just creating content. What you don't realize, you know, it's content. You're using 200,000 to make 1 million. Because by the time you give that woman that money, many people will watch your videos on YouTube and on Facebook, and then YouTube and Facebook will pay you. You think you don't know what you're doing? That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying, is it genuine compassion? Genuine one. And that's how God, this I'm telling you, this is how giving works. You know, I've taught you one time, it's a special ability that God gives to give us. You know, I'd like to show you that. There's a special gift of giving. People that have that, they always live in this compassion. Because of that compassion in their hearts, you always find that God will always be passing through them. That's why I'm going to say this to you. If you notice that there's a special compassion you have towards a certain people that have a need, and you are sensing that God wants to use you for them, begin to pray for them without even missing of them. Make out time. You notice that I have this thing towards drug addicts. You pray for them. For long, sometimes 1 year, you are just praying, you are expressing your heart towards them. It will be very easy to be a blessing to any of them that you meet. You get the point? You have compassion
towards people that are cancerous, people that have cancer. Begin to pray for cancer patients. Begin to pray for them. Because tomorrow, if God allows me to address the issue of special anointing, when we get there, you find out that one major way, one major sign, one major thing that happens when people are flowing that special anointing, they're always drawn towards those people. Always. Always drawn towards them. Because God is going to put that compassion in their hearts. He's going to put that, so that everybody can be running from those people. When they're running towards those people, they really want to help. Are you following me, friends? So, love makes it easy for God to be able to pass through you. I sense strongly I'm answering some people's question here. Amen. It makes it for God to pass through you to be a blessing to your world. So, let me see if I can say a few things, then we'll close. I'm going to challenge you to walk in love. So, let's look at love. 1 Corinthians 13 from verse 4. I'll just look at that and we close today. I'm reading with Amplified Classic. He said, love endures long and is patient and kind. Love never is envious nor boasts over with jealousy. It's not boastful or vainglorious. Does not display itself haughtily. It is not conceited, arrogant, and deflated with pride. It is not rude, unmannerly, and does not act unbecomingly. Love, God's love in us, does not insist on his own right or his own way. For it is not self-seeking. It is not touchy or fretful. Or resentful. It takes no account of the evil done to it. It pays no attention to a suffered wrong. It does not rejoice at injustice and unrighteousness, but rejoices when right and truth prevail. Love bears up under anything and everything that comes. Is ever ready to believe the best of every person. Its hopes are faithless under all circumstances, and it endures everything without weakening. Love never fails. Never fades out or becomes obsolete or comes to an end. As for prophecy, that the gift of interpreting the divine will and purpose, it will be fulfilled and pass away. As for tongues, they will be destroyed and ceased. As for knowledge, it will pass away. It will lose its value and be surpassed by truth. Verse 9, of course, our knowledge began to give say a lot of that. In the letter, he now said there are three things that stand out. Faith, hope, and love. He said, but the greatest of them is love. And so, we are seeing that a few things to note about this God kind of love that I'm asking to have those people. That love is patient with people. It's patient with people. That's number one. I'll give you like four things. One, it is patient with people. Look at verse 4. It says, love endures long and is patient and kind. It is patient with people. It is patient. So, this guy is just misbehaving. Love is patient. Are you following me? This one is just mad. Love is patient. I've been trying to help this guy. He's not responding. Love is patient. He's patient with people and kind while at it. It is not patient with people and then is just very angry. But I'm patient, sha. I'm patient. But whether I respond, he's patient and kind. He endures long and is patient and kind. Are you still here? Ephesians 4 tells us in verse 2. Glory to God. Ephesians 4 and verse 2. It says, with all, verse 1 said, I therefore the prisoner of the Lord beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. With all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. So, this love I'm talking about, it forbears people. It forbears. NLT put it this way, making allowance for each other's faults. Making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Understanding that this person, oh, he's human. He can do this and do that. That's the kind of love we're talking about. It is patient with people. It is patient and kind. Amen. If you go further, you know, that's 1 Corinthians 13. If you go further, verse 7, he said, he bears up under anything and everything that comes. And it believes the beast is ever ready to believe the best of every person. It is patient. So, it's not the kind of love that will say, I'm giving up on you. I'm done with you. That's not that kind of love. Once you're always in a hurry to say, I'm done with you. You're actually making yourself that person that will not be claimable for God to use to bless people. Because all those here, I'm done with you. You are done with the person that God may send you to help tomorrow. Pastors, ministers must never be done with people. Never say, I'm done with you. If somebody wants to say, I'm going, it's okay, bye-bye. But don't say, I'm done with you. I'm give up on you. I write you off. Jesus had Judas under his ministry. Who was Judas? Judas was somebody that Jesus knew that this guy had problem. Was the son of perdition. He was Jesus' treasurer. The Bible tells us Jesus knew that he used to take money from the treasury to eat. Yeah. Jesus knew. And yet, who was Peter? Peter was the one that Jesus that denied him. That, you know, this thing they say, how to know your friends is when you are passing through your deepest trouble. Jesus faced his deepest trouble. Peter denied him. He still made that Peter the head of his apostles. The love of God. He believes the best of everyone. That's why, you know, Jesus is not like you. Peter has been faithful, working with him in ministry, abandoned his business and all that to be with him for 3 years plus. And then, in 1 week moment, he denied him for like 3 times. Even after Jesus had warned him, oh, not just warned, he said, it's not possible, I don't be denied you, if nobody come out, I did. Yes, when Jesus rose from the dead, he said, send for Peter. He believes the best. And Peter never denied him again. He gave his life. He was eventually crucified upside down for that is Lord. I get the point? That's the same person would have said, I'm done with you. You see why God cannot use you to produce people. You see why God cannot use you to mentor a younger person. Ordinary follow-up will send you to go and do. We went there, the person said, don't come here again. He said, look at this small boy, because I'm trying to follow you up, you are doing anyhow. How much do you have? Do you know I'm leaving my car there to come and be following you up? No. No, sir. No. You believe the best. So that in 3-4 years time, that's why I said that love is patient. He thinks long term. 3-4 years time, that person used to push you from the house. They're using his house now for home cell meeting. Amen. He believes the best. Patience. Believing the best. That's how you can become a person that will exercise the things of God easily. You're making yourself an available and a flammable vessel for God to use you. I get what I'm talking about. For God to use you. No, I was speaking 3-4 days ago. And I said something here. I told you guys that actually many things that you do wrong. I'm blessed with the gift of God. Many things that you do, all these things you used to do. I know actually. And I'm not saying it because if you want to know, if I'm not going to ask my wife. She'll tell that I know. There's hardly anything you do around. I don't know. Yeah. Huh? Don't be afraid. So if you know, why are you always sticking around? That's why God can trust me with those information. Think about it. There are some people here that if God gives some information about people, you are gone. I learned this in a telling from Brother Hagin. Brother Hagin said sometimes he will be sitting down, somebody will just walk in, and God will begin to talk to him about that person. And he will say, Lord, should I go and tell him? God will say, no. I'm just telling you for you to know. Possibly pray about it and don't do anything about it, and yet not see that person through the lens of that thing I told you. They see him, he's leading choir now. Singing. You know this bro, this no still flow. Now that is, you are patient. Why are you doing? Are you condoning sin? No, you just know that this one is going to come around. And trust me, they always come around. It may take time. And if you have what bother that it is taking time for someone to change, do you know how long it took you to become this thing you are now? So he believes the best. He builds up everyone. Again, this love is not jealous or envious. I don't think I need to say much about that. It's not jealous or envious. Look at that verse 4 again. Love endures long, is patient and kind. Love is never envious, nor boils over with jealousy. It's not jealous. It's not envious. That someone got this or got that. That's envy. Even the person you're supposed to pray for, you are envious of the person. You are jealous that the person is doing well. And yet you want God to use you mighty. Amen. You know you are angry with white people that they came to Africa to come and take over our land. Let me say this to you. Majority of those guys that came to this place came here because they genuinely loved this land. There were some of the bad ones. But if you read what some of these guys left, look at Mary's lesson. Look at Mary's lesson. He's saying white people came to spoil your land. Yet it was your own people that were killing their twins. Your own people. Fathers will give birth and kill their children. A white woman came and stood. There's a story. I was reading her story one day. One of those in an African forest. She confronted a lion. Not spiritual, a lion. Life lion. And it was really bad. But she stood there and kept praying and getting the power of God. That lion turned back. Now, living wherever you're coming from for that kind of thing, God must pass through them, sir. Be angry all you want. God will use them. Your own brother, you are envying them. You are angry with them. Why will God use you to bless them? There are even pastors that are angry and are envying their members. Are envious of their members. So see the big guy he bought. See the small car I'm driving. I'm telling you. You know, jealousy is a big deal. If you're going to succeed in your work with God, please deal with that stuff. Have you seen Proverbs 14 verse 30? You've seen it. I've taught you. I've shown you this before. I wanted to read it. Verse 30. Proverbs 14 and verse 30. Glory to God. A sound heart is the life of the flesh, but envy the rottenness of the bones. Do you have NLT? It's the rottenness of the bones. Read to everybody NLT. A peaceful heart leads to a healthy body. Jealousy is like cancer in the bones. So you see why people step out from ministry and they fail. Because some people step out from ministry because they are envious of another minister. Oh, they are doing crusade. We will show them that we too can do. You go there, you fall woefully. Because the motivation again is jealousy, is envy. Ecclesiastes chapter 4 verse 4. Okay, we close in 10 minutes. Have you been blessed? Ecclesiastes 4 verse 4. Glory to God. Again, I consider all travail and every right work, that for this a man is envied of his neighbor. This is also vanity and ambition of spirit. Put up like an altar of this. You live in translation. Then I observe that most people are motivated to success because they envy their neighbors. Say, but this too is meaningless. It's like chasing the wind. So when he's doing crusade, because he's envying that someone else is doing, meaningless. So most people are motivated by success. Not because they really want success, but that's the bought car. Don't worry, will they come? Will they come? Who asked if you are coming or going? So again, now is the good time to ask you now, why do you want to succeed? Why do you want to buy a car? Why do you want to have money? Because you really want to be rich, because you really want to reach out, want to be a blessing to people, because you want to help people, because you want to get people out of poverty, because you want to bless people in the kingdom, sponsor the work of God, or because my mates don't make her, me too, I need to feel among. You see the problem? You are motivated by, it's just envy. With a touch of low self-esteem. Are you following me? That's not the love of God. That's not the love of God. Next thing I start, we're going to say four things. Number three, love is not self-centered. It's not self-centered. It is not self-centered. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Bible tells us in verse 5 of 1 Corinthians 13, love, God's love, it is not conceited, arrogant, and filled with pride. It is not rude or mannerly and does not act unbecomingly. Love, God's love in us, does not insist on its own right or its own way. For it is not self-seeking. Many people are too, everything is about you. Let me even, this I'm telling you now, you cannot flow in the power of God like that. Because the manifestation of the Spirit is given to all men to profit with that. Why God gave the Spirit to profit is to profit others. I know what I'm saying. So if you are so focused on yourself, so self-centered, you cannot profit others. Everything is about you. You are too focused on yourself. You're just thinking about, you get one naira, you want to spend, how will I eat and be fine? This, even when we are teaching on gift of healing, you are thinking of how to use it for yourself. Word of knowledge, you are thinking of, yes, let me use it, I can find my missing file. Everything is just you. You never think of, how can I engage this? There are people in the hospital, there are people that need help. You are just too self-centered. It's just revolving around you. Do you understand the point? Yeah. Can I even tell you, selfishness is one reason why people are very proud. Just about you. Now the scripture I'm going to show you. Don't be too self-centered. If God is going to pass through you to bless others, you must be selfless. You cannot be selfish and expect that God will use you to bless people. You must be selfless. You get the point? That's why you notice most of the people that God is using, this pastor, God is using that pastor, general overseer, they will always tell you, you know, I dropped my certificate. You know, I abandoned this. You know what it's telling you? It is that selflessness. That's why God is doing most of those things. Because if you're just so concerned about yourself, how am I going to eat? How am I going to survive? How am I going to do this? A man that is a vessel that God will use thinks about others. How will they be blessed? How will they be blessed? You know, sir, do you not know when you're organizing this 30 days of light that you are going to be stressed? I know. But what's your concern? How will the people be blessed? How will they grow? That is why God can even tell me to do it. I didn't get the point. It's not as though there is gate fee. Imagine there is gate fee. Every day you enter, you give me 1,000. I tell you, after this one, there's going to be 40 days of or fire. That one gets his 5,000. Immediately we finish that one. 50 days of manifestation. 10K entrance. If I do it for like 6 months like that, I jackpot. You will not see me again. Just escape. And I'll be tweeting from there. Saying the Lord has taken us to higher places. Most people that are going on missions, right? It's not mission carrying them anyway. Not some people are, but some people is not mission. Because if the Lord had there said is Akugo you are sent to, hallelujah. Akugo is a good community. I just mentioned, but say I'm sending you to Akugo. Say, Lord, what? Australia? Say no, Akugo. You have to go there. But you see that guy that God will use, he's come to a point in his life where he's selfless. He's not bothered about himself. Oh. So, 1 Corinthians 10:24. Let's rush this. 1 Corinthians 10:24. Mambele de geberondo shaka. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 24. Let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth. Did you see that? Let nobody seek his own, but every man another's wealth. NLT said, don't be concerned for your own good, but for the good of others. For the good of others. For the good of others. Amplify classic. Glory to God. Let no one then seek his own good advantage and profit,
but rather each one of the other, let him seek the welfare of his neighbor. See, imagine we're in church here and you are very concerned. Look at those guys that received that miracle of Peter being released from prison supernaturally. What kept them there? Love. And they arrested Peter. We are not going to sleep tonight till morning until Peter is out. That is love. There's always a miracle. I showed you guys about that story. The man, that story I told you about Reverend Arogo's church. Some years ago, somebody died. Somebody had an accident. A brother had an accident, went into coma. Days. From the day he entered that coma, the pastor announced the church went on a 24 hours non-stop prayer chain for over 1 month. Not on phone, physically. So people will come, some coming by 6, they're going to work, come by 7, pray from 6 to like 7 or 8, and go to work. As they're coming back, they will come back around 4, pray till 8, go home, come back around. As in, whenever you have time, come. People are there praying. No stop! That guy recovered. He's alive today. Chance of survival, less than 5%. But a church, what is that? It's love. That kind of thing, no. That's what they did for Peter. Even when they came to tell them that Peter had come out from prison, they didn't even believe. That tells you they were not really in the right frame of mind as per faith or what have you. I get what I'm talking about. But they were so concerned. Peter was in trouble, and we're not going to take our food off the gas until he's out. You begin to start. That's what he said. Seek another person's good. You're not doing it because of yourself. You're not doing it because some people notice you. Some of you want to begin to see God flow, move through you, signs, wonders. Have notice a brother. The brother is sick. The brother is tired. The brother has not gotten a job. He's finished school. The brother, sister is not married. Just don't tell them anything. Take the person up in your prayer. Just stay there every day. 3 months, 4 months. Ah! That's hard. God doesn't ignore it, sir. He doesn't. So it's not everything is about you. If you are so self-centered, God cannot pass through you to bless others. Just like I can tell you, God cannot be trusting a very selfish man with finances to reach others. God just give him as much as he can spend for his own. Because he knows, think about it now, if Pastor Isuhia is praying to God for financial miracle, he needs 1 million naira. And God has decided that how he will get the money is that someone will give it to him. You know what God will do? God will look for someone to put that money in their hand and now instruct the person who will give Pastor Isuhia. Now, do you think God will give that to a selfish man? And second, give pastors. Give which pastors? You now call him and give him 100k. Many of us, many times we miss our opportunity to prove our faithfulness. I get what I'm saying? Because sometimes God will ask you to go and exercise the gift of the Spirit out of your comfort zone. And I'm saying this by the Holy Ghost now. Out of your comfort zone. But because you are so comfortable, God is saying, stand up now. Go down there to that hospital to pray. Say, I don't even have transport fare. You are saying I should go and pray. Why won't you stand up if it is not about you? Somebody is possibly dying there. Did you ever think about that? Somebody might be dying there. You're thinking about transport fare. Get up! Because it is in that selflessness that you make yourself a usable vessel. Everything is not about you. You get money. 10,000. God says, that brother in church, give him 7,000. Say, God, save yourself. You didn't even say, let's do 50-50. He says, give him 7,000. Prove your faithfulness. I get what I'm saying. Prove, because by doing that, you are saying to God, any other time you want to reach another person with 10 million, with 7 million, if you put it in my hands, it will get to them. I feel what I'm saying. It will get to them. So, don't be self-seeking. I have one more point to make that we'll close today. Don't be self-seeking. Glory to God. Proverbs 15 verse 1. Proverbs 15 verse 1. Let me exhaust the scriptures I have here. A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. Next verse. Stir up anger. The tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. I'm actually going to verse 3. Verse 3. Okay, now go back to verse 2. Go back to verse 1. Put up like NLT. Okay, it's actually Proverbs 18. NLT. A gentle answer deflects anger, but harsh words make tempers flare. Verse 2. The tongue of the wise makes knowledge appealing, but the mouth of a fool belches out foolishness. Glory to God. Glory to God. Go to Proverbs 18. Let's look at this verse 2. It belches out foolishness. Proverbs 18 verse 2. Have you been blessed? Put up King James. We're going to read this together. I like NLT. We'll see King James. Read it with me, everybody. A fool had no delight in understanding, but his heart may discover itself. Put up NLT. Read to me, everybody. Are you ready? Let's go. Fools have no interest in understanding. They only want to air their own opinion. Very selfish. Hear me out first. You know, somebody said, I saw a very, very crazy skit. No, it was a meme. But he said, the relationship is very hard though. That since throughout this night, he's never has been shouting, listen to me. Can you just listen to me? Can you just hear me out? Can you hear me out? Can you listen to me? Some of you are laughing from experience. Can you just listen to me? This thing can mess up a relationship. Selfishness. Just want to make your opinion. Sometimes listening to him. Tell a sister around you. Sometimes. Tell a sister. Listen to him. Let him talk. Can you just hear me out? Can you just hear me out? You know why it's fun? I've seen that kind of thing. Please listen. Hello. Can you listen to me? You've been talking since. Can I say something? Can I just... No, don't say anything. this thing is hard though. Relationship. God will help you. But it's a sign of foolishness. Just want to air your opinion. Just want to make your point. And that is selfishness. They are too self-centered. And that's why I want, even in families, do you know God wants that you can be a channel through which you can reach your wife, through which you can reach your siblings. But you're too selfish. You're thinking about yourself alone. When there's a decision to make, you're focused only on yourself. How will it favor you? You're not living with an animal in the house. You're also living with a human being. Think of the person too. Think of the person too. Think of your mother. That's how you can be a blessing to them, sir. It's all full I'm talking about here now. Don't be too selfish. Just how it's going to favor you. How you're going to like it. How you're going to be happy. Life does not revolve around you. Last point, then we close. Love keeps no record of wrongs. Forgiveness. Wrongs. It keeps no record of wrongs. Hallelujah. So that's, go back to 1 Corinthians 13. I'm loving the word of God. Glory to God. It keeps no record of wrongs. Read verse 5 together, everybody, with Amplified Classic. Verse 5. It is not conceited, arrogant, inflated with pride. It is not rude, unmannerly. He does not act unbecomingly. Love. For it is not self-seeking. It is not touchy or fretful or resentful. It takes no account of the evil done to it. It pays no attention to its suffered wrong. That's the love of God. So if you are here and you've been carrying so much in your heart, that might be what is limiting this whole flow that God wants to, you know, because you are ministering to imperfect men. Are you aware? Imperfect. And this is, I'm warning pastors again, because you are the one, the pastor is the one that lives among the people. You understand? The evangelist can come and go. The pastor is the one. You as a minister, you are among us. Most of what God wants to do through you, he'll be doing inside this place. He wants you to bless that one, bless that one. You cannot be in so much anger. So much anger. That's why you don't keep hurts in your hearts.
no matter what. I've said it many times, people that are hurting, they have a genuine reason why they are hurting. In fact, if you listen to people who are hurting, you will understand them. But it's still nonsense. You know, let me just say this. Don't pause your life because someone hurts you. No, say a movie recently. That movie is very stupid movie. Very stupid. A man was in love with a lady and then wanted to marry the lady. And the lady now, the parents of the lady said no. And the marriage did not now eventually work. And then he went into his shell, became a shadow of himself for 30 years. By the time he became a rich man, he put all those energy into work, stopped being a social person, became a very wealthy man. By the time he was, you know, he saw that lady again, the lady's daughter was pregnant with the lady's grandchild. So the lady has finished marrying and become a widow. And him has not married at all. Because he's angry. Bitterness is foolish. Release your heart. Let's go. God just wants to pass through. You are carrying too much. Huh? Because if you don't learn forgiveness, all of these things, God will never use you. I can tell you, God will not go very far with you. Say why? Because people are always annoying you. There are people that annoy you, especially because Satan just placed them there. They know how to get to you. And can I say this to you? Start by forgiving people around you. Forgive your father, your mother, your brother, your sister, your wife. Can I add one more? Your ex. Your who? Jesus died for your ex. And your ex is going to prosper. So let go of that rubbish. Stop wishing that your ex will just fall and die. They will never die. The hand of God, they are under a covering it if you don't know.
God is protecting them.
Let go of all of live your life. So what if tomorrow you have to bless your ex? You get into a meeting as a minister, they just carry a mic. Or one day that you are part of the pillar of the welcoming new people. And then as say, first time I went behind, you just get there. And maybe that day minister, your first said you are the one welcoming first time as today. Just get there. You have to forgive your all these things. If I that, and maybe they say you should minister the Holy Ghost to them that day. Nothing is going to flow. No power. I think that's what I'm talking about. Forgive people. And see why you forgive people. Seriously now. The more you forgive people, the easier it is to forgive people next time. Have you observed? The more you do it, the easier it becomes. Now, remember again, the greatest form of mind renewal is action. Remember I told you that. So anything you do now has formed in your memory. It's easier to do it next time. Just keep forgiving like that. So that you always make yourself a flammable vessel that God can pass through at any time. Stir up the gift that is in you. And Paul said, what I'm sharing with you, Paul calls it the more excellent way. So final scripture. Is it final? Is it final? Let's call it final for today. 1 Corinthians 14 verse 1 now. Are we worshiping all of the days of my life? I'll be worshiping all of the days of my life. So he said, follow after charity. Now, this is the chapter where Paul is about to begin to talk about what we studied yesterday and 2 days ago. prophecy. You know that chapter 14. How did he open it up? Follow after charity and desire spiritual gift. So don't just desire spiritual gift. Follow after charity. Don't just pursue to interpret tongues and prophesy. Follow love. If you follow love, then match it with desire spiritual gift, you're going to have results. Are you following what I'm saying? Probably I'm a very classic. This I'm giving you today is a major secret I have in ministry. There are many things I don't know if I am anointed to do or not. But whenever that kind of case comes up, I love my people so much. I love my members so much. When it comes up, I will engage. My pastor shared this story with us, and I have that same experience here. You know, he said, when he left Ife, and they came down to Lagos. Of course, you know, pastoral loyalty and all of that. Almost many people that just finished school who were in Ife moved down with them to Lagos. By the time they came down, it was a bunch of jobless people gathering in church. Had no jobs, they just relocated. And then he saw the enormity of the work. What did that lead? He began to pray. Personally. Father, give these ones jobs. He interceded and interceded to a point that God made him that. Not only did that began to happen, it became a special grace God now anointed him with. I may talk about that tomorrow. We'll talk about special anointing. That's one of the ways. I say, that's why I told you, if there's any issue that you feel God is pushing you towards, start a sin about it. Now, if my pastor is passing you and tells you you have a job, you had a job yesterday. If he says you have a job, there was a job waiting like from 2 weeks. And he can come out and say, if I change your job, people change. It's so supernatural. What happened? A need came. Compassion pushed him. Instead, in prayer, began to intercede. Father, why are my people jobless? Give them jobs. And God has to put that on him. Many of you that began to prosper too here financially, this was what brought about it. Because I just saw 2:17, 2:18. You guys are really broke. No insults. No offense, but you guys are broke. 2:18, 2:19. Everybody here. Almost every time we come to church, as me, I'm jumping on my own keke to go home. Everybody jumping their own keke. And some are trekking. Then later, Ope came. I remember Ope. Hi. It was a blessing at the time, though. You could go to, how much was that, sir? 50 naira, I can go to anywhere in the world. Can travel to Kavanchal with 50 naira. Just enter. And every day, then that 2:19, 2:20, I said, Lord, this is not how we're going to do it. This is not how we're going to do it. These worms. And God began to open that up. And that's why you notice that from that 2019, I became more aggressive in speaking about your financial. Let me tell you, when you notice something, begin to pray. Recently, I announced in church here, that was 2 or 3 days ago, that there is now an opening for miracle marriages. Remember I said that? How did that happen? I've been praying, my wife can tell you, I've been praying over that matter for a very long time. Yes. Like what I'm saying? When that compassion of Jesus comes on you, attend to it by prayer. It most times opens you up to. It's just like, that's why pastors should know how to pastor. You come into your church and look and you see 30 women don't have children. No. That's not the time to begin to say, well, let's bring why don't you have. Get into prayer. Let the compassion of Jesus, let it drive you into your room. And you stay there until you break open a special anointing for that matter. Yes. There was a case like that, my pastor's church, he was telling us. See, you notice a couple of women in church, about married women in church, either this one doesn't have a child, or this one miscarriage. Sometimes in a year, they record like 4, 5, 6 miscarriages in the church. Say they went to meet with the Lord again. And at the time he was sharing, every of them in that place who were childless or had miscarriages, they have children now. You see that flow, it opens up because of that compassion. So eagerly pursue and seek to acquire this. Make it your aim and your greatest quest. Earnestly desire and cultivate the spiritual endowments. So you don't do one and leave the other.
So let love be your highest goal. Working in love, loving people, being compassionate, it will open you up. There are many men of God that carry what they call special anointing. That's what broke them up open to it. Because they saw people that had needs. And they went to the Lord. And said, Lord, what is happening? What is happening? What is happening? Why is this happening? And they are praying. That compassion became what God used to reach that land. So you cannot just carry so much hatred in your heart. How can you intercede for people? How can you be a blessing to people? How can God tell you to lay hands on people? How can God tell you to bless people? How can he even give you a word of encouragement for someone you are angry with? Ushers, you cannot be a bitter person as an usher. You cannot be an angry person as an usher. You are the first point of contact that people have whenever they come into church. You can't be angry with people. You can't be bitter. You can't have a tough time forgiving people. You can't. That's if you want God to pass through you. Even if you had a bad night, will you come and stand there? Let your bad night remain on your bed. Wear a cheerful smile. Deep from your heart. When you genuinely wish people well, when they are coming, hold their hands. Make sure you are not holding people to welcome them. Because they said, our coordinator said that's what we, every time we see people, we should smile and hold them. Make sure they are holding them genuinely because you care about them and you are thinking of how to be a blessing to them. I tell you, the next word that is going to come out will be words filled with blessings. You genuinely bless them. Do not fill your heart with bitterness and expect that God will pass through to reach anybody. If it's still happening, you are stifling the flow gradually. With time, that flow will stop. That's the only thing I don't want to say here. So doesn't look like I'm encouraging some things. There are people who don't pray and do many things as much as you do. But God uses them more than he uses even you. Some people genuinely love people. And that love becomes what God will use to reach people. Look at a woman like Mother Teresa and what she did with those children. Opened an orphanage where people, you know, there was no money, but she wanted to feed those children. There is no kind of testimony I did have. If you read Mother Teresa's story, the one particular one that really struck me, there was no food. Kids, you are hungry. So she went to the Lord. Say, Lord, what do we do? These children cannot die in my hands. Money is not flowing. And they were all gathered. Hundreds of children, hungry, no food. Food had finished in the orphanage. I know you cannot go and tell children that, children, there's no food. So what would they do? She prayed that they, supernaturally, a truck transporting, was it bread or so, had an issue. And the company decided, look for any orphanage and dispense those bread to them. You can't call that coincidence, sir. That is the miracle work. That's the gift of faith in operation. In oppression. But then, how did that happen? It's that heart that was crying out to God. What do we do for these kids? Now, you see the person that has not received that miracle, that will say, the person that will say, now I've tried my best. I've gathered you people. That mambo, listen, I won't kill myself. Even everybody has their own limit. Everybody, you can't think of what to do. Where's your father? Where's your father? That's the person that God will not pass through. Let your heart be ablaze with love. Let me say this finally. Any attack on your love life is an attack on your entire spiritual life. Any attack on your love life is an attack on your entire spiritual life. It's an attack on your entire spiritual life. Any attack on your love life. Walk in love. Pursue it like your life depends on it. Now that's what message of this verse said. Message of this verse, chapter 14, verse 1. Say, go after a life of love as if your life depended on it, because it does. It does. My life depends on this. My ministry depends on this. That's why, do not tempt me. Don't try to tempt me with bitterness. Not that I will not hold it against. I promise you, I will not. I cannot do it. And so help me, God. So help me, God. I won't do it. I won't do it. Be envious towards you or angry at you or not be kind at you. John talked about shutting up your bowels of compassion. He says, somebody comes here and says, I'm hungry and this, and you shut off the burst of compassion towards that person. That's what you should never do. Never shut off your burst of compassion. If there is a push in your spirit to pray, pray. If you need to reach out, reach out. If you need to care, care. In all those things, God will go through you to meet people. And you can bless them. So this is one major way to stir up the gift of God in you and remain aflame, remain ablaze. If you keep your heart in the love of God, it will be very easy to be a vessel that God will use. You know the truth? God's love is working in us. Romans 5 tells us that He has shed His love abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. What that means is that it's not a struggle to walk in love. So go after a life of love. Go after a life of love. Throw yourself into it. Be a blessing to your world. Be a blessing to your generation. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Are you blessed? Let's just pray in the Holy Ghost. Let's just pray. You can see it if you can stand, whichever one. Just pray in the Holy Ghost for a moment. Let's just close from here. But pray with every intensity. Go ahead. Just pray. You have 3 minutes. Ask God to help you if you want. Tell Him to help you. Ask Him to help you. Ask Him if there are things you need to do. Some of you, you know everything I'm saying, but it's just very difficult to let go of things. Ask Jesus to help you. Just pray, pray, pray. You have 2 more minutes. Pray. Take it seriously. Pray. You know, I like how some of you are praying. Pray. Take your time. I should have just rounded up, but I just heard the Lord said I should ask you to pray. Shebele garade la gosania. In Jesus' name. This is that kind of meeting that calls for action. When I'll get to the other part of this teaching, I will say this, I'm going to say much more. But let me just drop it. That is why families do not allow bitterness or stuff like that in your home. You are still going to stifle spiritual flow in your home. That's why your wife will be in danger. God will not open your eyes to tell you. Because you are very angry with that woman. Are you what I'm talking about? That's why some of you carry a healing anointing. But your husband is sick or your wife is sick. But you cannot heal her. Because you are not even happy with her in the first place. So don't give room for that. That's why no matter what your kids do to you, make sure you correct them. After you correct them, let me tell you, it is foolish for a father to quarrel with the children. Why are you quarreling with the child? Let it go. Because you're an important figure in that child's life. He's the one that will suffer it. You saw it in that thing. It will be unprofitable for him. Because you're just angry. That's why parents are angry and they refuse to send school fees to their kids. They are angry. I'm not going to send you feeding money in school for 2 weeks. What is going to happen? That child just gets into the street, begins to do anything. The devil has used that thing to enter the family. By the time he's sending the feeding money after 2 weeks or 2 months, the child doesn't need it. He has found other ways to survive. So he's not trying to solve a problem that he created by himself. By letting the devil, I get what I'm talking about, the devil break into his heart through bitterness and unforgiveness. So because by the time he said, I'm not sending money, the child goes talking to his friends, and they say, don't worry, it's not money, we'll do whatever. That is this guy I know. So by the time you are coming back to send money, the girl is already into hookup, she's enjoying it. I know most times when ladies get into all those hookup things, that even when you send them money, they will keep going. They're enjoying the attention that is coming from them. You get the point? Enjoying the extra cash. But you would have shut that door permanently. I get what I'm talking about. If you have just, there are many things we do. That's why I told God in our home. And God is doing that for us. Anything that wants to happen, God will show me. If don't show me, show my wife. And that's why we must maintain an atmosphere where that thing can keep happening. Some things I cannot say, and I'm going to meet later in this world. I'm going to tell you. But everything that has happened doesn't show me. You must show me. We don't live in the dark. And I want to carry that up to when, in the future, when, so that tomorrow when the kids are going through whatever, you would have seen it ahead of time before it comes. And then you are averting it before it comes. But you cannot have a very tension-filled environment and think that God will just be speaking to you clearly like that. Be that man that God can pass through. So give no room for hurts. Give no room for bitterness. Practice kindness a lot. Love people. Do never shut up your bowels of compassion. That's what John called it. Never shut up your bowels of compassion. So it means almost everybody has bowels of compassion. Glory to God. Give me that verse. I think I'll just read that to you. Never shut up your bowels of compassion. That's 1 John chapter 3 verse 17. Whoso had the world's good and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him. He said, how dwelleth the love of God in him? How can you say you carry the love of God? That's an opportunity to do good. And you turn it down. That's not love. That's not love. Amen. Put like NLT of that. That's not love. NLT said, if someone has enough money to live well, and sees a brother or sister in need, but shows no compassion, how can God's love be in that person? How can God's love be in that person? How can you claim you have the love of God, but you have the opportunity? So, never shut down that boil of compassion. Is that okay? Never shut it down. Never shut it down. Love people, and it makes it easy for God to pass through you to bless them. Amen. Amen. To never turn a cold shoulder. That's what message said. Never turn a cold shoulder. Said if you see some brother or sister in need and you have the means to do something about it, but turn a cold shoulder and do nothing, what happens to God's love? See, it disappears and you make it disappear. Do you understand the point? Don't mess this whole thing up. That same way God will lead you to give someone money, to lead you to care for someone, that same way He will still lead you to lay hands on the sick. It's the same compassion of Jesus. I didn't get the point. Be available for whatever God wants to do through you. So let go of anger, let go of bitterness. It's a good day to forgive, right? It's a good day to forgive. It's a good day to let go of everything. It's a good day to be free. Be free and live your life. It's a good day to be free. Have nothing against it. It's good to always talk like me. At this moment in my life, there is nobody dead or alive I have something against. Can you make that kind of confession? Can you make it? Are you sure? That at this moment, there is nobody, and God knows I'm standing on His altar. Dead or alive, I have anything against. Nobody's like that. They've not burned the person. Glory to God. Now, if you will not be able to make that confession now, sincerely, make it your goal that by the end of these 30 days, you'll be able to make the confession. What do you mean? What do I mean? Go home and begin to work on it. Begin to pray. Start praying for those people. Start dealing with it. Start one day, before the end of these 30 days, your testimony will be, at this moment, there is no human being dead or alive I have anything against. How many of us can make that confession? And you are confident. Let me see. It's small, small. We'll all get there. Glory to God. Now, if you never did raise his hand, don't say, ah, that's a witch. You might be the reason he did not raise his hand. Maybe you showed them pepper too much. That's why he didn't raise his hand. So we'll all grow. If you need help with that, reach out to us. We'll help you, okay? If you need help with that, reach out to us. I can help you. I can help you forgive anybody. Now, trust me. Anybody can help you. And I'm talking about forgiveness that is fake. Like when I forgive you, I don't forget it. So don't say, oh, this forget and forget. No, you cannot forget. You remember what happened now. But I mean, forgive to a point when if you remember what happened, it doesn't carry the same weight of emotions that like it carried before. That's with forgiveness. Not the time you say, I forgive you, but every time you tell the story, you still cry. That's not forgiveness. You forgive the point that when you tell the story, when you talk about it, when you remember it, there is no restriction. You are really free. And may you experience that freedom. In Jesus' name. Are you blessed today?
For more information, inquiry, or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.